discover that mothers are very unique. They come in all shape and sizes, and mothers are for sure very special people. Someone said that God couldn't be everywhere all the time, so he made mothers. And while this theology certainly is wrong, God is omnipresent, he is everywhere always at the same time, the sentiment towards mothers is also correct. It seems like moms are just there, Johnny on the spot, all the time. And we know that God created the family. He established the family. The first woman and the first mother in the Bible was called Eve because her name, the name Eve, means life giver. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "And Adam called his wife, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." There's many things that we could say about mothers, many things that you could stand today and say about mothers. And some of us could think about our childhood and think of some really sweet particular moment. My parents worked, and they worked very hard. And when I think of my mother, I remember my mother being in the front. I was in the front yard. And she had on a white uniform having to go to work. Now, I was very young, and I remember crying my eyes out because my mother was leaving me. And I remember her getting on the bus to go to work, and I ran around to the back of the house and cried and cried. And to my surprise, my mother had seen me, and she said, "Stop the bus. I'm getting off the bus today." And she came around that corner of the house, and there I was. I was very young. I think I was 15, and probably a little bit younger than that, but I was very young, just young enough to not even remember the house, but I just remember my mother turning the corner. There's so many things we could say about mothers, but this morning I just want to pick from this chapter, from this psalm, Psalm 31. It's known as the Virtuous Woman chapter or psalm. I meant Proverbs. It's a proverb of Proverbs 31. But notice the characteristics of a godly mother that makes her valuable, that makes her priced far above rubies. Let me say, first of all, that godly mothers are most valuable. The Bible speaks about virtuous, and the word virtuous, it translates valuable resource or power of strength is what it translates. And you think about your mother or the mother of your children, you see moments just how valuable they are, and how it could be no one else could fill those shoes and do, and she seems to, God gives her endless strength to be able to follow through. The wife and the mother is a valuable resource and is a powerful strength for the husband and for her children. I occasionally get the chance to watch the Antique Road Show, and you like that? And I wonder where all my relatives were at that left me something that, you know, and I wonder, you know, I don't go at all to these yard sales and these garage sales, but somebody picks up something for $10 and, you know, it's worth $1 million at the Antique Road Show. And I was watching this one particular show where this man had a painting and he had picked it up for $100. And he brought it to the Antique Road Show, and they estimated it for $500,000. And I think how happy this man was. What a great $100 investment in something like this. But I felt sad for the man who sold it for $100 because he didn't know what he had. And let me tell you something, husbands. Many of us who still have our wives don't know what we have. The Bible says that she's virtuous, she's valuable. She proves to be more valuable than all of the earth's riches. Have you ever heard someone say, or a mom say, I'm just a stay-at-home mom? And I don't know how old this survey is that I read, but I read a survey that said that said that a stay-at-home mom would earn an average of $131,471 annually, including overtime. Now, I thought about it hard before I gave this story, because I'm afraid Debbie might want a raise when we get home. But if she received a paycheck, if your wife received a paycheck, just that stay-at-home mom, that's what her salary would be. Let me go a little bit farther. The survey said employed mothers reported spending on the average of 44 hours per week in their outside job, and then came home to another 49.8-hour home job. And you can do the math on how much that would cost. I know for so many years my wife taught in our Christian school, and I would come home. We would leave the office about 5, and I would come home and fall in my recliner and thought, boy, the day is done for a while. But she was just scurrying about, and she was doing clothes and dishes and straightening things and all that kind of stuff. I tried to help her, you know, let me load that dishwasher. And she says, no, I don't want you to do it. I said, honey, I don't mind doing it. She says, there's a certain way I do it. She must have the dishes numbered or something, you know. I try to, you know, fix the bed. And recently we had Ryan Keaton. He's in Huntsville, Alabama this summer, but he spent the night with us. And our guest room has like somewhere between 16 to 108 pillows on it. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And Ryan put them all back in sequence and in colors. I don't know if he took a picture first or what, but I'm hating his head for doing that. In my bed, there's one big pillow, and it says Thanksgiving or welcome, or what does it say on it? Grateful. It says grateful. And I had taken a nap, and I put the pillow back on there, and she took a picture of it and sent it to my daughters, and I had put it upside down. Grateful was upside down. I didn't know it was a word. Evidently, Thomas, I can't read either. And I just thought it was decoration or stitching or something. But, you know, she would come in and just start working. And this is something that this is most valuable. Men don't do that. But God has equipped her to do this. Talking about doing double duty. Listen to me. God says her price is far above rubies. She's most valuable, but a godly mother is magnanimous as well. Now, I'm in the thesaurus here. That's M-A-G-N-A-N-I-M-O-U-S. Not unanimous, but magnanimous. And it simply means of high moral. It means generous. It means understanding, tolerant, charitable, forgiving, unselfish. These are the characteristics of a godly mother. It says in Proverbs 31, verse 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. It's wonderful to have a wife and a mother that you don't have to fret over. You don't have to leave town and worry. You don't have to worry about your checking account. You don't have to worry about your savings. You don't have to worry about your children. Not particularly in that order, but it says clearly, the Bible says in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. And we men, we may not want to face it. We may not want to admit it. But we are terribly incomplete without the Eve in our life. Isn't that so? A matter of fact, there's so many things that they do in the house. I guess we just think that it just happens that way. But there's so many things that we see in the house and we have done in our life that we don't realize all that she's doing. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And if you have a wife, God says she's a good thing and that it's the favor of God. You have obtained the favor of God to have that lady. A godly wife, a godly mother, listen, will do good and not evil. The Bible says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Notice that a godly mother is also multifaceted. She's not just a one-trained person. In verse 13 and 14 of Proverbs 31, The Bible says she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. A multifaceted person, having many aspects, diverse. She's diverse. She is versatile. A godly mother must be able to be all things all the time. Your wife and your mother, of the mother of your children, she is Dr. Mom. My mother, bless her heart, she believed that we looked it up. Some called it monkey blood. What did I call it, Dave? You remember? What is it? Methylate, thank you. It was all those things, actually. You're all right. But it was methylate. My mother believed methylate could cure everything. And I want you to know what doesn't kill you makes you better, let me tell you. And that they didn't have a whole lot back then, though, let me tell you. But, you know, she's a multifaceted person. She can get dinner done. She's Dr. Mom. She's Mrs. Educator. She's the gourmet chef. She's Mrs. Homemaker. She's the loving companion to her husband. She's all of this. A godly mother does it all. And that's because she's a multifaceted person. The Bible says that godly mothers are managers. I see this so much in my life. In verse 16, the Bible says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Godly mothers are able to balance. They're able to manage all the various aspects of motherhood. The great manager, this mother, the great manager, is able to do so much with so little. When I was in Bible college, I was shocked at how much Debbie did with just so little. We just had so little. And then for the first 7 years on staff as an associate pastor, we just had so little. I mean, just literally so little. And Debbie was able to take little and mix it with her love and do that. And I know you mothers out there are doing the same. We had one of our sons call us some years ago and said, "Dad, guess where we're at?" And I said, "I don't know where you're at." He said, "We're at Cracker Barrel. Guess what we're eating?" I said, "I don't know. What are you eating?" He said, "We're eating cornbread and pinto beans." I said, "Well, that's good." He said, "You know, Dad, when I was a kid, I didn't know we were poor. I just thought we liked pinto beans and cornbread. But you know, there's a great source of protein in those pinto beans. And cornbread's good every day." We see here that this mother, she is a manager. Many children grow up poor, but never know it because their mother has an exceptional ability to manage everything well. We used to play a game. We used to talk about if your husband named you as a tree, what would he call you? Would you be a weeping willow? Always weepy, always fainting, always falling. Would you be a sweet gum tree? Or would you be a mighty oaks? And I want you to know, godly mothers, when things are tough, when things are hard, they can stand alone in the field and they're strong. They're the mighty oak. The sweet gum is good too, though. And it says, look what it says in the Bible in verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength, and she strengtheneth her arms. She's a manager, but she's also, in her own right, she's mighty. Motherhood is not for wimps. Motherhood is not for the faint of heart. Trust me, I've been in the delivery room. They call it labor for a reason. I had a pastor friend that years ago, and back when we were young, listen, we had to go to the Lamaze classes. You're looking at a certified Lamaze man here. And I'd have to take off work early. And I get in those classes, and they say, "Now, husbands, take your hand and squeeze your wife's knee really hard." Well, they didn't tell me that when she went in labor, the pain wasn't going to be in her knee, and squeeze it hard and coach her. You're her coach, and help her with her breathing. And this pastor friend of mine, Jack Hines, he went to the Lamaze classes, and when the labor started, he fainted in the labor and delivery room. And he was teased about it terribly. And let me tell you, labor delivery, it begins with that. It only begins with that. That's the starting point for motherhood. Let me tell you, godly mothers are mighty. Let me say sixthly, the Bible says godly mothers are merciful. Their a tenderness about them, verse 20, she stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Godly mothers are filled with mercy. And this mercy is not necessarily just for their own immediate family or children or husband, but also it carries over to have mercy and concern for others who have great need. Oftentimes, fathers have the vision. They're visionaries, but let me tell you, the mothers, they are doers. They do. They don't stop. They just continue to do. Husbands aren't that way. We look at it and think, you know, that'll do, and we're finished. Godly mothers can do wonders, and they're fueled by nothing more than a kiss and a hug that takes them a long way. Number seven, the Bible says that godly mothers are models. The Bible says in verse 27, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Usually when we think of models, we have this elaborate thought of these showgirls or these women who are glamorous and they're painted up and they're powdered up and they have expensive designer clothes on. However, godly mothers, they model something completely different. Godly mothers are adorned with strength and with honor. 1 Peter 3, verse 4 and 5 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. God says a meek and quiet spirit in that mother, in that wife, he says that it's a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. We see that they were models and they were adorned not with flattery of apparel, but in strength and in honor. Then eighthly, the Bible says that a godly mother, that they are mentors. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Boy, when nobody else understands, your mama does. When everybody else is on top of you, piling on, your mama does. She doesn't necessarily take your side if you're wrong, but she's nurturing and she's there for you to help you. Notice she's a mentor. She mentors others. She has wise counsel, the Bible says. She's a wonderful teacher. And this is certainly applying to what it says in Titus 2, where it says in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Look at that, ladies. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, serious, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Do you need an older, more mature Christian lady to teach you how to love your children? Do you not think that you love your children without having to have instruction? Probably not, in a biblical aspect. And how to discipline your children and how to rear them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we see that this godly mother, she's a mentor. She teaches her daughters and she teaches other young women how to be godly wives. Godly mothers are their teacher. They also teach their children the truth of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me say, if you teach them to read but haven't taught them the Holy Scriptures, you failed as a mother. If you teach them the alphabet and you haven't taught them the Holy Scriptures, you failed as a mother. Let me tell you, if you taught them mathematics and there's eight apples on the tree and four fall off, how many apples, and you haven't taught them the Holy Scriptures, you failed as a mother. You see, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, let me say, a godly mother is memorable. She's memorable. The Bible says in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. This is what Mother's Day is about. It's a time to praise your mother. It's a time to praise the mother of your children. And let me encourage you today, as we dismiss here just in a moment, and as you go and you beat the lines at the restaurants, or maybe go home to a crock pot delicious meal waiting, and as you celebrate, don't let a thing pass by without you speaking to your mother and praising her for who she is. Notice in our text, it says in verse 29, it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And you make sure that you celebrate and you praise your mom today. This is what a Mother's Day is about. This is what we're doing. And mothers, let me ask you, how will you be remembered? Are you that valuable, virtuous woman? And you may be sitting here and say, Pastor, I didn't get saved too much later. You know what? You could start today. That's what's so wonderful about it. So tremendous about it. But let me tell you this. In this passage, in this proverb, we have the characteristics of why a godly woman is a virtuous woman, and why her price is far above rubies. Would you stand with me today or this morning? All of us standing with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. And let me just say, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, ladies, we're living in a much, much evil day. We used to see the old commercials. You've come a long way, baby. And I tell you, those old cigarette commercials hasn't seen anything to what it is today. If there's ever been a need for a praying mama, it's today. Many, many, many years ago, it was common to see a mama on her knees in the back corner of the house praying for some boy or some daughter that was wayward. And I just want you to know that might not be vogue today. That might not be in fashion today. But I want you to know this. It score points with God. God's looking for it. And then let me ask you, male or female, mother or father or son or daughter, whatever your station is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you've cried out to God for forgiveness of your sins? You've had a spiritual awakening and you know for sure that you're going to heaven. Has that happened? If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I know I'm on my way to heaven. If I were to perish today, whether a heart attack or car crash, if I was to perish, I know, every head bowed, every eye closed, I know I'd wake up in heaven. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? That's so wonderful. That's great. Wonderful. God bless you. Isn't it wonderful? Now, let me say this to those of you who didn't raise your hand. Thank you for your transparency and for your honesty. But I want you to know something. God loves you so. And Christ died on the cross to pay for every person's sins, yours and mine. And if you will acknowledge that you're a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in him, believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. And if you will call out to God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You, my friend, can be saved too. Now, I've never approached anyone. I'm not going to ever do that. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. But every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you let me pray for you? If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I'm trusting you, and you can trust me. I won't approach you. If you want to talk about it, you can come to me. But I won't approach you. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I have some confusion. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure about it. Would you raise your hand right up and right back down so I could pray for you? Anyone like that this morning? Anyway, would you just raise it right up and right back down? Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Yes. Who else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. Let me tell you, my friend, there's two things that are certain, death and taxes. And the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. No man knoweth what the morrow may bring. The Bible is very clear that what decisions we make on this side of death determines where we spend eternity, in heaven or the devil's hell. Who else would raise their hand and say, Pastor, just pray for me. I won't approach you. I won't come to you. I won't make you uncomfortable. I just want to pray for you. Anyone like that? Pastor, I have some confusion. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure that I will. Anyone else before I pray? Now, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I pray for a couple who raised their hand, and they said, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to go to heaven. Lord, I know no one wants to go to hell. And Lord, I know in my own life I struggled so much with this, but it wasn't until I finally went and sat down with somebody who had a Bible to tell me how I could know, and I've never doubted it since then when they gave me scripture on it. So I pray for these people who've raised their hand, and possibly some others who probably should have. I don't know for sure. But Lord, I pray the gladdest thing and the gladdest day of our life was when we met you. And you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, became our atonement. You paid our sin debt. You justified us just as if we never sinned. We can't go to heaven through church membership or being baptized or doing good works. We only go to heaven by coming and crying out, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray for these folks that they'll understand that. Now, heads bowed and eyes closed, listen carefully. I'm not going to be long. In just a moment, the piano is going to play. I want to invite mothers to come and maybe seek the Lord and say, Lord, help me have these qualities and characteristics in my life as a mother that pastors covered from Proverbs 31. But if you raised your hand, or maybe possibly should have raised your hand, and you want some answers, in this invitation, we invite you to come forward. If you're a lady, one of our ladies will take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and know it. You can leave here knowing it. I promise you. You can leave here knowing you're on your way to heaven. If you're a man, one of our men will take the Bible and show you in a quiet place. Just open the Bible and show you what was shown to me that day. And I've never questioned my salvation since then. Lord, once again, help these folks. I pray for all of our mothers. I pray that they would indeed come forward and dedicate themselves afresh to be a virtuous, valuable woman as a wife and as a mother. And then I pray for these who are having some doubts, who have some questions, have some confusion. Help us to help them settle that doubt and that confusion. In thy name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The altar is going to be open. You come. You